12:12. First thing on the agenda is approve the minutes of the prior meeting that were provided to you. Any debate or discussion on those minutes? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve.
I move that we approve.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Okay, next is proposed strategic partnership agreement, City College Station.
Just to remind y'all, this is the second time we've discussed this, but this is the agreement that was worked out with the City of College Station that provide the terms and conditions upon which the district will be annexed. The form of this agreement was made a part of the prior approval of the agreements between the developer and the city, and with the obligation that then it become an agreement. A strategic partnership agreement is an agreement between the city and a utility district that provides for the terms and conditions upon which annexation occurs. It also permits the city to do what's called a limited purpose annexation over any commercial property. The primary reason why the city will do that is whenever there is any commercial development that is sales tax generating, the city will be able to levy its sales tax on that area and begin generating sales tax revenues. We have previously discussed this. We are obligated to hold two public hearings before we do that. This is the second. So we merely need to open a public hearing and receive any comments, and then we are able to approve that strategic partnership agreement. This will then go on to the City of College Station's agenda for final approval. Obviously, College Station has already reviewed and approved the form of the document. So
since that, we've opened the hearing, we need a vote.
We need to now open the public hearing. If I have the time, it is at
12:14.
12:14, declared open. And then anyone can speak for, against, regarding the strategic partnership agreement. Seeing none, for present, we can close the public hearing.
Close the public hearing.
That's 12:15. Now we simply need a motion to approve the strategic partnership agreement with the City of College Station.
Do I have a motion to approve the strategic partnership agreement with the City of College Station?
I move that we approve the strategic partnership with the City of College Station.
Chuck, do I have a second?
I'll second.
All right. Any further discussion? I want to ask one question.
Yeah.
Was the final agreement very similar to the one we were given in our first meeting?
Exactly the same. No changes.
Thank you. With that being said, all those in favor of the motion and second signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed, same sign.
Okay. Thank you very much. You'll see this on the City Council agenda now.
Number three is financial and bookkeeping matters.
That's me. For anybody new in the room, I'm Rose Maltzabano. I work for FSC Inc. We are your bookkeeper. If everybody has a report that looks like this, you can read along with me. All right. In the general fund, we do have a deficit, $3,925.50, but your developer is already handing me a check. If you go to the back page, you can see at the top, this is your activity since the last time we met. You can see those disbursements. As well as you can see in the receipts, we do get a developer advance. At the bottom there, those are the checks for your approval today. They total $6,765.44. But I also want your approval on an additional check that I wrote this morning. It's to Charles for his training. I do have a blank check that you guys sign, and it's to Brazos County, and that's relative to the election. We might need that check. I don't have the amount, is the reason it's blank.
Yeah, and you know, this is an unusual circumstance in which there's been a change in state law about the county running elections. We'll describe this when we get to the election item. We may enter into an agreement with the county for an amount that we don't know. It's typically in the, you know, $1,000 to $5,000 type range, which just pays for the election. But I'll describe the reason for that. If you're more comfortable, approving that with a, not to exceed number in that check. We certainly are not to exceed without the approval of Bill. Obviously, Bill's firm is advancing the funds to you to pay for these costs. We certainly could do that. This is an unusual circumstance, though, which we'll describe in a minute.
So would it be prudent, are you suggesting that it might make sense to delay action on that particular check until we discuss further?
You can certainly approve it, subject to calling the election, because that's really where we're going to talk about the options with running this election. If you want to delay that until we do the election item, that's completely fine.
Okay.
So if you want to approve the bookkeeper's report.
Well, I have one more thing to show you. The last
page,
it's your budget to actual just ending July 31st. Just show you the year-to-date actuals on that first column. You can see the total revenues have been the $10,001.94, and you can see your expenditures have been the $12,564. We just show you this every month to see how we're doing. And that's it. That's all I have to report, if you guys have any questions. And like Steve said, we could just do approval on the checks that are written.
And then we'll delay action on the check for the election until we talk about the election. Okay?
So the
motion would be to,
why don't you frame it up there?
Yeah, so the motion would be to approve the bookkeeper's report and to pay the bills listed. And actually, the check to Brazos County is not on there, so we'll just handle that later.
Later in the
meeting. Yeah, later
okay.
in the meeting.
Okay. I'll accept that in the form of a motion.
Motion. Second.
Perfect. Second?
Second.
All right. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Next is tax assessment and collection matters.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. I did pass out, you haven't had a report from me yet, but there's a couple of things. There is a bank form that I need signatures on. We're not going to open a bank account until you set your tax rate, because that's just an extra expense. You know, there might be some service charges, so there's no reason to open it. But I like to have that on file just in case, since you do not meet on a regular basis. If your developer ever decides to go, hey, you know, we want to set a tax rate, I can get that bank account opening process started. We did get your certified roll for 2015, and it's listed on my report. And as I'm kind of go through this report, I'll go over it when we actually have some substance to it. But the way our report's laid out, the first page, you will obviously you will see that that top portion is really there for your financial advisor, your bookkeeper, and your auditor, because your fiscal year end and your tax year end are different. Your tax year end is always September 30th, starts with October 1. Your fiscal year end, if I remember correctly, it's
November.
We have to kind of, so there's overlay from tax year to fiscal year, so we lay that out on top there. In the middle of that, you will see tax collections, penalties and interest, collection fees, all those things will come in play once you levy your tax and you actually have homeowners. And then obviously the tax expenses are being paid through your operating account right now. But that once we start having, we levy taxes and we have collections, all your expenses from your tax account comes through from your tax account. And that's why we have to open a bank account when that happens. That second page, or the third page, the back side of the second page, we have, this is, we call this the historical page. And in a district, history is important when it comes to taxes, because you want to know where your collections are, what your values were in the previous years, how it's growing, so you can have a snapshot of it. Also, in the future, we'll be talking about exemptions a long time from now. We'll be talking about exemptions and things like that. They'll be listed on here. And as you can see on the very bottom of that page, your 2015 certified values listed on there. And that tells you the land and improvement and how much in personal property and total value. Again, we're got at $7.9 million. And what happens is the appraisal district sends us a role almost on a monthly basis, because as it grows, when it gets fully grown, they can't sometimes keep up with all the changes, like the name changes when people sell houses, things like that. So they send us a role, which we update in our office, and you know, people can protest their value, slower show, more things like that happen. So you will see that those that number changing. Do you have a question?
Do they do that just for utility districts, or do they do that for any developer?
They do it for all special all MUDs. Okay. They send it to send us that information.
And all tax and jurisdictions.
All tax and jurisdictions.
And just, you know, real briefly, you know, we have established your account and are getting your tax roll. What we want to make sure is that we levy a tax in the year in which before you have residence. So everyone begins buying homes, properly escrows for their taxes. That won't occur this year, but beginning next year is when we will, for the first time, consider, I believe that be the case, is next year would be the year in which we would begin considering exemptions, you know, setting tax rates, et cetera.
So is there an appraisal district within the MUD?
The appraisal district is Brazos County.
Okay.
The same, we've got centralized appraisal, all right. So all the jurisdictions. So you'll have the same numbers for the you know, school district, county, and your district, with the exception of being that we have different exemptions that are granted by different.
So if anybody wanted to contest tax values, they'd go.
They go there. There.
Is that typical? Is that always done that way in MUDs?
Yes.
Yeah, like Harris County, they're going to Harris County Appraisal District, Fort Bend. So they're the one that sends a value out, so the value's the same, and then obviously we levy taxes on the jurisdiction.
Gotcha.
And then the following page, page 4, this is your profit and loss page. This is all your income and your expenses that will be coming out of your tax account. This one is by your current month and your fiscal year. We run this by your fiscal year. Again, it's a report that your auditor and your FA and your bookkeeper looks at. And then the next page that you're looking at, we have a year-to-year comparison. It's obviously not going to be important right now, but once you get residents in your district, you want to make sure your collection rate stays high, because once you sell bonds and things like that, then your collection drops, because that's where the bonds are getting paid from. So it's also another thing we want to keep an eye on, that your collection rates stay high. I mean, it's not going to be a problem in the beginning, but once you get fully developed, and you have residents, you have delinquent attorneys, all those people we work with. So the report, obviously it's going to be a lot of blank spaces, but it'll make more sense as the years go by.
So we won't, dumb question, but we won't have income until such time as we elect a rate.
That's
and start assessing.
That's correct.
And
so
we anticipate that to be
next year.
At some point in 16.
Yes. And gotcha. Typically we receive the certified values in August, levy a tax in, you know, September, tax bills go out. Homeowners generally like to pay their taxes in that current year, so they get their exemption on your federal income tax. But businesses usually pay, they're delinquent as of January 31st. So,
well, you got to remember in Brazos County,
you got to split.
You can split.
Yeah. November and June.
Yeah, with no penalty.
Really?
Yep. Yeah.
We're very unique that way.
Yeah. If you pay half of it, At the end of November. I'm not telling you if it's a good idea. I'm just telling you how it feels.
Well, that won't apply to y'all.
Yeah,
that
won't
apply to
y'all. So we're the first. So our people will not have that split payment option.
You can. You could elect it.
I got you.
Oh, what?
You're
not all the authority.
Well, they may all do it, and that may be a reason that
since
you make
we're
that
our own authority. We get
so
it.
In the spring of each year. We will evaluate certain tax procedures, including the ability to do split payments. And if it's, you know, everyone in Brazos County is used to doing split payments, that may be a reason to do split payments.
Right.
We just need to know, because obviously, running the numbers, you've got to pay your debt service. We want to make sure that that's part. And once you get in that system, you know, beyond two payments, it's crazy. But there are like discounts for early payments and all kinds of things that we generally reject.
Let me just tell you, split payments, it might work, and we'd talk about it. It obviously slows your collection process down. And with legislation like over 65, they have deferrals now, and that has gone right through the roof. That means they can defer their taxes till they sell the house or they're deceased. And they get an 8% penalty on it per year. But I have people on my tax roll that's been doing it for over 10 years. Yeah. That's deferred. We haven't collected any taxes on it.
And it accrues for 10 years?
Sure.
Capped at 8%?
Capped at 8%.
So it's not punitive.
Right.
Yeah. How old do you have to be to take that?
65.
I'm going to fake my age, dog.
Your joints, dude.
That's
your knee joints.
Look, and then they can also do four quarterly payments, which 99% of them take advantage of, which means we don't close that account or go delinquent till end of July.
The next year.
So, like Steve was saying, it can affect your debt service payments in the beginning. So we really need to talk about that when it comes to
I got you.
We'll deal with all those things.
And then obviously you'll have the oath from my office. And when we have delinquent accounts, you'll get another report. But
the report will make a whole lot more sense when you have numbers.
So, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But if you, I don't know where the signature. Oh, they already signed it. Y'all are way ahead. So
the only thing you need is authorization to open the tax account.
Well, I'm just going to hold it. Okay. I'm going to come back to the board when it's time.
We're talking signatures on.
Yeah, I just want to hold it just in case, since they don't meet, and if something comes up and you go call up and say, "Hey, Aubrey, we're going to levy a tax," I can get the process started.
Okay. So do we or do we not need to take action?
Yeah, I will go ahead and approve that.
Granting him permission to open the account?
That's correct.
I'll make that in the form of a motion. So I'll make a motion that we grant them the right to open an account.
I'll second that.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Onward to report on development in the district. I'm assuming Mr. Mather.
Okay. Really on the development, nothing really changed from all the updates, you know, what y'all saw on the plan. We've got our first round of financing set up, and we're rolling out for our second round of financing to kick off phase one. And I would say that we are looking to start delivering lots in 12, maybe 14 months. First phase was going to be roughly 225 lots. And we have letters of intent on almost all of them. And so we just have a handful of hurdles to get over, one being the offsite utilities and a couple other smaller things, but those are the things that we just have to quantify to be able to go out for our second round of financing. Other than that, just from just the development, the costs, the, you know, that side, those nothing's really changed. So I wish I had pretty pictures and make it, you know, more eloquent report, but not much has changed. We're just kind of have our last two or three, you know, hurdles to quantify.
Are most of those lots going to be taken down by just a couple builders, or?
Yeah. We have let's see, we have four product types. What is that? Yeah, four product types. Anywhere from the 50 foot front all the way up to 70 foot fronts. What we would consider lower end on our side, which will be, you know, a 225, 250 house, is one builder, one credit builder. Our kind of a mid tier is actually three local builders. Then our next upper tier is two builders. And then we have a very small band for the 70-foot lots, a little bit the higher-end houses, and that is one builder. So that, whatever that is six, five or six builders. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Any further discussion? Questions for Mr. Mather?
No action needed there.
All right. Moving on to the report on engineering matters.
Engineer, any
kind? Engineering matters, you want to do the assignment of contract?
Sure.
And then we'll do the engineering report?
Yeah. The as you know, we will be begin building a lot of public infrastructure associated with this project. Those are contracts that we would typically have initiated in the district's name as district projects because they're for public utilities. They were initiated in advance of the organization of the district, and so there's now a desire to assign those agreements, the agreement with Jones and Carter, to the district from the developer. Obviously, the developer is going to be the one who's going to be making the advances to you. You've already got in place your financing agreement that obligates them to make those payments on your behalf. So as part of your motion, when you approve the engineer's report, we would request that you authorize the assignment of the engineering agreements with Jones and Carter to the district. Okay? And we have a form of assignment where you assume those agreements.
And so, Steve, as we, I guess, authorize this assignment, I want to make sure I understand. The contracted party today is the developer.
That's correct.
And then we're going to be assigning
to the
MUD,
district.
To the district. And is there, I guess this is probably a dumb thing to think about, but indemnification language prior to, is there anything needed in that regard?
No,
from the developer to the district?
Yeah, I don't, right now, I don't think any of those plans or anything have been approved. So you will still be reviewing the final plans. You obviously have an agreement with the engineer with all of those as the district's engineer. Just there were contracts for mass grading, drainage impact analysis, and the lift station and off the site, water and sewer that were executed in advance that now are being assigned to you. But you already have a contract with the engineer for all services that they provide to the district that provides that they have to have insurance, that have all of those. There is a new state law that prohibits you from having or forcing an indemnity provision upon professional engineers. They've got a good lobby up in Austin. So so you can't have that provision anymore. But they are insured, and they have, you know, obviously all their professional responsibilities under the terms and conditions of that engineering contract with you. So these were just done.
Are you limited, is your liability limited to your fees?
No.
No.
Perfect.
Not in our agreement.
Good.
So okay. We would recommend that you approve those assignments.
All right.
And do you have any additional engineering?
Just brief. There is an engineering report, I think, in the packet. That engineering report is basically piggybacks on what Bill mentioned earlier on the current state of those three contracts. Those three contracts, mass grading, master drainage study, and the offsite improvements are on pause as we're working through some of these hurdles on the different topics. And so as those get addressed and finalized in the coming months, work will be resuming on that. Probably the big thing to mention, I think, is a big positive here. On the offsite utilities, the city did a sizing report that was done after our initial utility agreements to actually size and model the utilities needed to come out here and serve. And there are some significant improvements in that as a result of that model. We were able to actually eliminate an entire water line along Highway 6 for this development. So that was a significant cost savings overall. The other thing is phase one does not need an additional water line extended to the project. We can use a water line that is that's existing on our neighbor's property, and got some better sizing on some sewer infrastructure. So that more detailed model that Collar Station did for us recently was some significant savings in offsite improvements and reduced phase one costs. So that's a good update on some things that are happening behind the scenes.
Can you briefly describe what the hurdles are?
primarily the things, and Bill probably speak in detail on a few of them. There's really two. One on the utilities have more to do with coordination with the neighbor and working through easement acquisitions and moving through the agreement on how we get those utilities to the city infrastructure there at Lick Creek. The other is really related to the what the city calls the preliminary plan. So that's really the step where the city would require a lotted plan for the development. And that is in progress right now, working through that. And so getting those things finalized are really the last keys to letting these design contracts move forward.
Yeah, there is a requirement that the city has imposed, and it's probably primarily because most earlier projects have had a much smaller footprint than, you know, this, you know, 600 acres, they require that you have essentially a fully lotted out plan as you begin your planning process. That's not typically done. It adds a significant amount of expense that will, you know, we can tell you one thing, it won't end up the way that lotted out plan. That's one thing that is certain. And that works fine on a 25-acre track, but it really doesn't on this scale. But it's been imposed on everybody else. We fought it. We were not successful in winning that battle. So it's going to add some early expense that really doesn't provide a whole lot of value. But
they don't hold that particular expense as in a MUD expense.
That's correct.
That's a developer expense.
It's a private landowner. Yes. So it's not a good thing.
And no commitment comes with that. I mean, it's just a proposal.
They want to know what you're going to do.
Basically, when you do a subdivision plat, the city's asking you to, what they want you to say is, we know exactly what we're going to do through this property and give us all the information. And as Steve said, if it was 25 acres, That's not a big deal, because you can revise that. There's little tweaks. You pretty much know what you're going to have. I guess to the city's defense is, when you file a preliminary plat, you're vested at that time at the code, city codes at that time, other than, you know, health and fire code and stuff, but just your regular codes. So what that happened before, somebody come in and say, here's a preliminary plat, and would really show nothing and be nothing, and say, we're vested. And then we come back 10 years later, because I think it's a 10-year vestment window, and here's now our new plan, but we want to go under the 10-year code, 10 years ago. So the city, the pendulum swung way over the urban land planning mentality, and they just broad brushed it. They didn't make a provision for larger pieces of land. And that mentality is inculcated in the culture. So, unfortunately, we will have to do as if we know where every lot's going to be on 553 acres, and what size, and what direction, what sewer line, da 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 da, and submit that to the city as a preliminary plat to be able to actually start the platting process.
So even your extra phases that you're not even anticipating for a while.
On everything. Wow. And so phase one, we've done the market, as an example, we've done the market report for phase one. We go, okay, the market we think fits this mix, this lot bands, and the market has confirmed that, and that's what we're delivering. Well, in 2 years, that lot band mix will change. We don't know how much, how little, to what degree, but the next one will change. So for me to, for example, think that that far corner over there is going to be 50-foot lots in 8 years, there's no way to know that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's really, in the subdivision planning process, it's actually a pretty easy amendment way to handle it, but we just didn't get anywhere on that one. So
as you go and do these additional phases, will you just have to amend the plat?
I have to amend the plat every time.
Yeah.
And I'll just say, going through the process, which we do anyway, of saying, we expect X amount of density here, and that type of density is going to require this type of service from roads to utilities, that's actually a pretty easy process too. If we went on densities, it would work. You know, you could actually very easily go through, say, these densities, and then if you come in later and say the density is much greater, then you probably have to go back through the process. But College Station doesn't have that set up, there no development has required it yet.
I'll loan you my crystal ball if you'd like.
No, you will. That'll work. I want to know how dependable.
Let me know how that works.
That's right.
All right, so we're taking action, Steve, on 6A, B, and C.
Yeah. Correct? Well, the only item that requires action is item A. We will separately approve this engineering report under 7. So we just need a motion to approve these.
So we do not need to include B and C in that motion?
There are no design. No.
That is correct. There okay. are no yeah. facility. There are no plans to
approve or design. So
those are placeholders in the agenda.
Gotcha. Single motion on 6A.
Thanks for clarification. All right, I will entertain a motion for 6A.
I'll move. Approve 6A.
Do I have a second?
Okay.
All right. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
All right. And then item 7 is the engineering report that you have in front of you. This is a report that you reviewed when you previously called the election that we then canceled for May. I don't know if there are any updates or changes to that.
There are no updates or changes. We updated the date.
Okay.
The date and signature. There's no other updates to the course.
So this engineering report provides the estimated cost associated with the public facilities within the district. That forms the basis for calling the elections and the amounts that we will call the election for. As I mentioned, the numbers have not changed since you reviewed this back in January, February. And so we would merely ask that you approve the report if you'd like us to go back through it again. What this has done is it has looked at the development within the district, what utilities are required, what the cost associated with delivering those utilities, provides contingencies and inflation associated with those so it can be built over time. And those are done in categories, water, sewer, and drainage, and roads. If you look your cost summaries in there, you know, they're outlined for each category.
Figure 6 and 7, I think, is what you're looking for. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's refunding bonds also.
Yeah. When we vote the bonds, which is the purpose for this, we vote bonds both for selling the bonds to pay for those facilities, but we also vote bonds for refinancing. So just like if you built your house, you borrowed at 8%, and you built the house, and then 5 years later, the interest rates are down to 5%, we're able to sell bonds to refinance to reduce interest or your cost, debt service savings. That will happen over time in a declining interest rate environment. Whether or not in this project we will be in a declining interest rate environment is up to crystal ball guys.
I don't doubt it.
But we vote those that provide us the ability to refinance if we do need to refinance. When you refinance, you simply sell new bonds at a lower rate and then use the proceeds of those bonds to pay off the old bonds.
So on this action item, we're basically approving the engineering report with one edit from a prior one.
That's right. Just changing the date.
All right. I will entertain a motion.
I move to approve the engineering report.
Second?
Second.
Further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Adopt order calling confirmation election.
All right. This requires a brief explanation because this is actually changed. In the legislature's infinite wisdom during this session, they decided that our November elections should be centralized, meaning that the county should run the election day services for running the election for all countywide, elections within the county. There is also a provision that allows the county to be designated as an election center and run both the early voting and the election day. But you have to apply and file with the Secretary of State to be designated as an election center. Brazos County has filed as to be designated as an election center, which means that if you call an election, they will run both the early voting as well as on the election day. If that is granted, then we would enter into and have the county run the entire election. If that does not occur, then we would run early voting. Our election officials that run early voting would then go to the polling place within the precinct and open the election on election day, and then the county would operate the election services on election day. And so because that hasn't been determined yet, we don't know. We can call an election, but we can't tell you today how it's actually going to be operated. And so what we need to do is we need to call the election, and with an either or, meaning if it's designated as an election center, then the county's going to run it in toto, both early voting and on election day. If it's not designated as an election center, we're going to, the district is going to run the election in early voting, and then on election day, services will be provided for by the county. We can't tell you what that's going to cost with the county. Obviously, they have the right to recoup their pro rata out-of-pocket expense for running your election. Like I said, that's usually between $1,000 and $5,000, but we can't tell you what it's going to be until we get through this uncertainty. So, with that backdrop, we would like to recall the, to call the election in the amounts as we provided. If you remember, we call an election to confirm the district, to vote on the directors, to hold election for your taxes, to pay bonds for water, sewer, drainage in the amounts provided in the report, for roads in the amounts provided in the report, and for a maintenance tax for both water, sewer, drainage, and operations. This is exactly the same election that you previously called that was canceled, and in the exact same amounts. The only difference here is we do not know how the election will ultimately be administered until the Secretary of State rules on whether or not the county will be an election center or not.
So the county petitioned Secretary of State for that approval, and it just hadn't been ruled on.
Okay. Obviously, this is all happening real fast. Yeah. There are all kinds of Voting Rights Act issues and everything that the Secretary of State's looking at, and capability issues and all those kind of things that are beyond our control. And so it's going to be done one way or the other. We just need you to authorize us to do it either way, depending on the determination of the Secretary of State.
So if the county runs it, are they going to set up a polling spot in this district?
We will vote at, they would vote at wherever the precinct is that they are located in. So it'll probably be an elementary school in the area or something like that.
Okay.
And that would be true if we held our own election, administered early voting here at the polling location in the district, and then election day would be at that precinct. Okay. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
So, Steve, if I understand this correctly, we are entertaining a motion to allow for an election to occur in Brazos County if they are elected an election center.
That's correct.
Determined to be an election center. Or if they are not determined to be an election center, the district
will run the early voting.
Will run the early voting, and the Brazos County will then handle the regular election.
That's correct.
I'll make that in the form of a motion.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Discussion. Any questions? Or, you know, following legislative sessions, it's often a lot of uncertainty. So right. I appreciate your understanding.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed, same sign.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
We're done.
Okay. The second thing that we would like you to approve is a check to Brazos County to pay for whatever election services they end up, if you want to say in an amount not to exceed $10,000, that would certainly probably be a reasonable amount. We don't expect it to be
a reasonable amount, or to your approval, or
we hope it will be significantly less than that, but it but right, we obviously don't want to have to.
I move we approve a check to Brazos County to pay for the election up to $5,000.
Okay.
All right. We got a motion and a second. Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
All right. Item number 9, if we have to run our own election, we have to have our own election officials, and we need to pay for those. That's typically a 12 to 15. What's that?
We did 12.
We did 12 when we did last time. So we would just request that you authorize, if we run early voting, that you pay the election officials $12 per hour. That is 3 hours a day during the 2 weeks of early voting. So it's not a big number,
that one would be held here.
That would be here if we actually won the early voting.
Right.
This is again, depending on how it turns out.
Right.
Okay. Anybody want
to move? I'll move for paying election officials if we in fact have to do early voting.
How much?
$12.
$12
an hour.
Yes.
Thank you, sir. That's a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Okay. Gets us to 10.
Meeting schedule, we will need to meet in May unless there is any other items we may discuss. What's that? Excuse me. I'm lost. Usually everything's either May or November. We will be still back on the last election. We will need to meet in mid-November. To canvass the returns of the election. We will be in contact. We are going to go into executive session. There could be some other reasons that we may want to meet earlier. We'll discuss those in executive session. Okay?
So do you
no, action,
for,
no action.
No action. Just an update. Okay? That gets us to executive session.
All right. We're going to convene an executive session for y'all who have not participated. Executive session allows us to discuss certain matters that state law allows us to discuss outside of the public. You will not see these in the discussions in your minutes. We will be convening this time in executive session to deliberate the potential purchase exchange of real property necessary for public facilities. We will, when we go into executive session, we will ask everyone other than your legal counsel or any necessary consultant for that matter to step out so you can have open discussions without them being in your presence. So what we would simply need, Hunter, for you to do is to call us into executive session pursuant to Section 551. To deliberate the purchase, exchange, or lease of real property.
Do I need to repeat that? All right. I will call us into an executive session pursuant to Section 55.072 of Texas Government Code to deliberate the purchase, exchange, lease, or value of real property.
And it is 12:57.